I'm committed to work with China where we can advance American interests and benefit the world. But make no mistake about it. As we made clear last week, if China threatens our sovereignty, we will act to protect our country, and we did.
U.S. President Joe Biden there in his State of the Union address last evening, making reference to what we covered quite extensively on this program, the discovery of a Chinese surveillance so-called balloon, which ended up being shot down over the Carolinas on the weekend. My next guest can help us understand some of the greater significance of both that action and the balloon itself. Retired Major General Scott Clancy is with us today, former Director of Operations for NORAD. Hi, Major General Clancy. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you making the time. Let me just start off with your reaction to how the president kind of framed the issue in the State of the Union last week, kind of as part of the wider challenges the U.S. faces with China. What was your impression of what he said?
Yeah, I think that's an extremely astute approach and one that I would recommend, and I believe that Canada is following suit on. This is part of the larger relationship between Canada, the United States, and China.
And what does it tell you about that relationship?
Well, I think that the entire affair can tell us an awful lot of things about the ongoing relationship with China. I think that tensions between the West, especially the United States and China, stems from, well, a sense that the 20th century was the time of industrialization and globalization for the West. Now is China's turn, time for that. However, we're limiting them in terms of climate and rights and things like this. They want to be present and in and around the Arctic, on the Arctic Council, but that's vying for natural resources that they want to have access for. Trade, economics, blending national and private industry, these are all things that lead to tensions, but especially on the military side, Taiwan, the South China Seas. So this balloon has basically added more fuel to an already extant problematic relationship.
I want to put to you a question that a number of our listeners have put to us as we've been covering this issue, and it's, you know, China has a whole range of mechanisms to quote-unquote spy or survey potential adversaries in the United States, in Canada. Why the balloon? And what do you think it says about their approach to surveillance?
So I think that China is a very astute and I don't want to say the word. I guess I want to use the word devious, but that has a negative connotation to it. But it is a very astute intelligence-gathering nation. It will use all mechanisms at its disposal, to include our cell phones and all of the technological implements at its disposal to be able to gather intelligence. Now, the balloon, you know, General Van Herk, my ex-commander, who's currently commander in NORAD, saying it's about 200 feet high. I mean, that's large. And the payload was the size of a jetliner's payload. So it can have all sorts of sensory gathering information in it. The most advanced sensors that it could have could include things to gather in the cyber or radio waves. Now, it's not just that it has those sensors, which could be on low Earth orbit satellites as well. It also has the ability to linger over top of places for hours at a time that can establish pattern of life on how military or critical infrastructure is protected or works. That is one aspect. The second aspect is they might be attempting to figure out how our reactions are, not just where we would put military resources to react to this kind of a threat, but also how our governments and how our public safety organizations use, which nodes become active as the balloon becomes into our airspace. That can be very telling for them if they wanted to probe our airspace in the future. And then the last element, from a political point of view, seeing the reaction in the United States and Canada by extension as to the divisions that this causes, it can be very indicative to how they might see American reactions to perhaps incursions across the Taiwan Strait.
And what would you take from the reaction, particularly in the States? I would say it was not as polarized in Canada at all. It was much more muted. But the politics of how, you know, why didn't you shoot it down earlier? Well, the back and forth on that, what would that tell you if you were in China?
I think that this is exactly what China would want to confirm, that there would be no coherent and come together reaction, that each one of the political sides in the U.S. would be using this kind of an event as, or any future event, as political leverage against the other party in whatever small or big P political games they want to have. That is not the unified approach that I've seen from nations like Canada or many of the nations in the EU, Australia and New Zealand, who have, regardless of political parties within and the debate that has to go on, they have a coherent and unified approach to China. But that is not what we're seeing from the United States.
Is that a huge vulnerability for the U.S. in its sort of relationship with China and its posturing for, you know, asserting sort of some leadership on whatever the new world order is?
It absolutely is. And I think that this is one of the things that many nations around the world have in the past looked to the United States for leadership in, are not necessarily seeing that same role. And I think that's part of what China and Russia are trying to do in establishing a new world order that is a little bit more to their liking. I think that Canada, by extension, is better served than they ever have before the production of a new Canadian Indo-Pacific strategy and its, you know, five priorities, starting with promoting peace and resilience, but including trade, investing and connecting with people. These types of things will provide a coherence across political boundaries.
That actually kind of winds me back to the statement that the president made during the State of the Union, because part of what he said was, we'll cooperate on some areas, but obviously in others we'll have to respond in a different way. How the complexity of that, especially, I mean, it's so specific to China in many respects, right? Because we're not talking about trading with Russia anymore, not even close. But China is such a different market and such a significant market when it comes to trade, when it comes to climate. If you want to tackle climate change, I mean, you can't really do it without China. How difficult do you imagine it is for Canada, for the United States, for like-minded countries to navigate the complexity of that in the coming years?
So, yeah, what a great question. Obviously, diplomatic relations, economic relations, military relations, political relations will all be the elements that are at play. So it's all of your elements of national power to be able to have a relationship with China. Much the same that you have interpersonal relationships between, you know, people. They're multifaceted. It's not just the dynamics of what you do together, but it's also how you speak, the language you use. It's going to be multifaceted. So Canada, like-minded nations, the United States, the EU, are going to have to use all of their elements of national power. The leverage that China has, as you said, huge market, enormous economic power, growth, growing, and a totalitarian regime that will flaunt or interpret international laws and just not care about national laws of other states in order to further its own benefits. I think we have to see that relationship through the lens of that is going to be a continuing problem for us. And much like Russia showing its stripes with Ukraine, I think it's going to be very long, and I don't think you have to look very far before you see these things from China as well.
Taiwan, and specifically with what it does with Taiwan, I imagine. Okay, I have to leave it there. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. I wish I could talk to you for much longer, but I do appreciate your insights and analysis, retired Major General Scott Clancy. Thank you, sir.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Retired Major General Clancy is the former director of operations for NORAD.